Our next guest is returning, and he's been very gracious in his time that he shares with us here, and he makes sure to keep us up to date on this very important story. Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York. He is support provided by the Investigative Fund of the Nation Institute, and that's where this current article is found, at thenation.com and in The Nation magazine. But the work has been, from his first installment, has been incorporated into Nightline reporting of the same issues here. The new article is Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington. Let's welcome Joshua Kors back to American AM. Joshua, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Good to be with you, Henry.
Yes. Well, for people maybe that don't remember from your previous appearances, give us a recap of who Specialist Town was and why his problems drew your attention.
Absolutely. John Town is a soldier who served in Ramadi, Iraq. He was wounded there by a rocket and lost a significant portion of his hearing due to the explosion. He was awarded the Purple Heart for those wounds, but when it came time to discharge him, the Army doctor he saw decided that his deafness actually came from a personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they were able to prevent him from collecting disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life. They even, as part of the provisions of that personality disorder discharge, had him give back his signing bonus for the years he was too wounded to serve, so that nowadays, thousands of wounded veterans like him are finding out in their final day in uniform, they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
So here's your Purple Heart, here's your invoice.
That's exactly right, and several thousand dollars to boot, and then out the door you go with no medical care, no disability pay.
We're speaking with Josh, of course. This article is at thenation.com. There's a direct link to the article on AmericanAM.com's guest page. And, of course, the article, as we just told you, Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington. Speaking specifically of Specialist Town, he must have gone through physicals before his injuries. Did he have any hearing problems before that?
Absolutely not. In fact, all of the soldiers I've looked at in the 12 months I've been reporting on this story have gone through the exact same story. Screened and deemed perfectly healthy before joining the Army. Screened and deemed healthy yet again a second time before being deployed to Iraq. It's only when they come back from Iraq wounded and seek benefits that the pre-existing condition is discovered. And we mentioned that John's case is by no means alone. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. Dismissing those soldiers without benefits is saving the military about $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
Did you compare that 22,500 with any other recent periods of time, like the late 90s or something like that?
That was all I was able to acquire, was stuff from 2001 on. The War on Terror, looking at how many soldiers we're dealing with here. The reason I followed up on this story, not only we're talking about the massive number of soldiers, but I wanted to get it in this follow-up article from the doctor's point of view. In this follow-up piece, which comes out this week, I speak with doctors who say misdiagnoses at their military hospitals are rampant. One told me he was pressured by his superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded to give them personality disorder discharges. And Henry, I think you'd be interested in some of the stories he told me. They very much fell in line with the dozens of cases I looked at in the many months I've been reporting on this. He spoke about one soldier who came back from Iraq with a large chunk missing from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
Now, here's my question. Where are the Republicans who stand up on in Congress? Where are they on this? Why aren't they jumping on the bandwagon?
They are. They are in a very aggressive way. Senator Kit Bond, a conservative Republican from Missouri, has been the Senate's leader on this issue, drafting legislation which he joined with Barack Obama to produce a bill, S-1000, 1817. That bill would put a freeze on personality disorder discharges. It was matched in the House by Congressman Phil Hare's bill. And the idea of both of them is to stop these discharges, take a look at the system and see what's wrong before we allow any more of these cases to go forward.
So is there an opposition to them?
Congressman Bob Filner, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, called hearings on this topic following my reporting. I was called to testify, as was Specialist Johnstown. And what I noticed was a complete unity between all of the congressmen, Republican and Democrat, except for one, Congressman Steve Booyer of Indiana, a Republican. He was very much mouthing rote phrases, which seemed to be coming from another source. He was furious with me and demanded that I tell him the names of doctors who were providing these misdiagnoses. I mentioned Dr. Mark Wexler, who treated Specialist Town, and many others. He seemed to be the center of many cases I looked at. But Congressman Booyer wasn't satisfied with that, and with a disgruntled groan, he said he didn't think we should have journalists testify anymore.
Really?
Yes. He and Filner almost came to blows, really, during this hearing. He wanted to know, again, the names of some of the doctors who provided information about these misdiagnoses. And obviously, I've been meticulous about refusing to give up the names of my sources. Filner came forward and said that he's spoken with doctors who've told him that they were pressured to purposely misdiagnose soldiers. And he said to Booyer, "You know what, Congressman? I'm not going to give you their name either. So you can start yelling at me." It was a pretty comic exchange.
We're speaking with Joshua Kors. He's been following the case of Specialist Town as well as many others in the military and the misdiagnoses. And, you know, I do want to point out again to our audience that since you got on this story, it was picked up by the Army Times, Washington Post Radio, ABC News, Bob Woodruff, as we said, with Nightline, and also, I believe, on the evening news. And Dave Matthews, the rock star, has been getting on this. Who is Major General Gay Pollock, and how does she fit into this?
Yeah, Bob Woodruff and I did collaborate on a Nightline piece. It was good to work with him. He has a very strong understanding of these medical issues, as you can imagine, from his own experience being wounded in Iraq. We flew out together to Ohio to interview John Town, to Colorado to look at various investigators who've been studying these cases for several years. This is not a new phenomenon. And, you know, I should add, Henry, I am a touch frustrated. As a journalist, we work to stay neutral on these points, but it just doesn't stop. I got a call last night from a family who I had spoken to. I had been called to give an address to a veterans group in D.C. last week. His family stood politely in the audience, clapped when the speech was over, shook my hand afterwards, and went their way. Now they call and said, "Thank God that you appeared, because we're having the exact same problem. Our son was struck with an IED, and now they're trying to discharge him with personality disorder."
How do they not justify, and how do they justify their behavior, but I mean, how do they write something like that up to make it sound like there's a personality disorder? Did they have to create symptoms that were there before that were never observed before?
No. Well, in part, yes. There is no record of any of these soldiers having had this lifelong pre-existing condition. Part of the way they do it is by refusing to interview family who might have known whether the soldier was deaf beforehand, whether he was having schizophrenic delusions as a child, any of these things that are required for the diagnosis. By definition, a personality disorder is something that you have coming into the Army. But it's also easier in another sense, and that is that after one gets brain damage from a blow to the head or post-traumatic stress disorder from your nervous system being stressed out to the breaking point over a period of a year, you develop symptoms that seem somewhat resembling the lifetime condition of personality disorder, like nervousness, an inability to concentrate, to communicate with others. If you've met any soldiers coming back with PTSD, they seem a bit agitated. That can be faked as pre-existing personality disorder if you didn't know that the soldier was perfectly healthy before his time in combat.
Now, do they give a reason why they don't want to talk to the family?
Yes, they do. In my first article, part one of my series on personality disorder, Colonel Stephen Knorr, who led Surgeon General Gail Pollack's review of the personality disorder cases, he told me that soldiers and their families, they didn't have the keen psychological insight to recognize personality disorder that he and his staff had. So talking to them would pretty much be a waste of time.
And how does he account for the traumatic experiences causing the conditions? I mean, how does he account for them not causing the conditions with the personality?
Well, he said that it would be inappropriate for him to address situations like that on a case-by-case basis due to privacy reasons. I want to go back. You mentioned about Surgeon General Gail Pollack. She's really the center of this hurricane. In October of 2006, she was presented a stack of personality disorder cases and asked to review them. She said she would look at them, and after 5 months, she presented a memo saying she had given a thoughtful and thorough review to all these cases and decided that all of them, including John Town, was properly diagnosed. But with a touch more reporting, I uncovered that in her 5 month thoughtful and thorough review, her office didn't interview anybody, not a single person, not even the soldiers whose cases she was reviewing. What they did do is go back to one of the doctors who created the false diagnoses, Colonel Stephen Knorr, and asked him whether he got it right the first time. The doctor said, yep, our diagnosis was correct, and they terminated the review at that point. Surgeon General Pollack fabricated about that for a long time, telling soldiers that there had been a panel of health experts who had looked at these cases, and that they were independent. But it turns out that they weren't independent, and there wasn't a panel. It was just Colonel Knorr. Henry, his selection, even besides those prevarications about it being a panel of independent reviewers, he was a strange choice, and many veterans were quite upset about that, not only because of the statements he made in the first part of my series, but also because of a memo that he wrote, which leaked to the media a few months earlier. This memo he posted on the bulletin board at his office to direct his doctors on how to treat soldiers. And what he wrote is that doctors shouldn't trust soldiers when they come in and give reports of their illnesses. In his words, we're not so naive as to believe everything soldiers tell us. He also advised his doctors to discharge wounded soldiers quickly. As he put it, get rid of dead wood.
We're speaking with Joshua Kors. His latest article in The Nation is Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington. That link is available on the AmericanAM.com guest page. You can take you right there, and then you'll find a link to the previous article once you get to thenation.com. And we probably have time for one or two questions. If anybody wants to give us a call at 941-745-1490, 941-745-1490. Joshua, what is the red flag system?
Red flag system is the way in which the VA looks for and gives immediate treatment to the most wounded soldiers. In my article this week, a top official from the VA comes forward and talks about how their red flag system is being subverted. Normally, a wounded soldier would go through a medical board, and the medical board and the subsequent boards they go through decide whether they're wounded and just how much disability pay they should receive, what their disability rating is. What the red flag system does is the VA looking out for those going through the medical board and receiving a very high disability rating. They take those soldiers and immediately put them in the front of the line so they can get immediate medical care. But soldiers who are given the phony diagnosis of personality disorder, they aren't allowed to go to a medical board. Thus, they don't get a medical board rating. And as a result, they fly under the radar of the red flag system. Their cases are never flagged. Consequently, they get dumped into the stack of 800,000 cases, which are waiting for the VA to take care of right now. That's why John Town, who didn't get a chance to get a disability rating or see a medical board, had to wait 8 months simply to get a doctor's appointment.
And let's just say, hypothetically, all 22,500 soldiers were misdiagnosed. Is there an estimate of how much money they was saved by not paying those benefits to those 22,500?
Harvard professor Linda Bilmes had a meticulous study about the cost of this war. Using her figures, it looks like it's about $12.5 billion. Although I should say, one of the doctors I spoke to in this recent article told me that with all the soldiers he's seen misdiagnosed at his hospital, if all the soldiers really got the diagnosis they deserved, he said, the cost for treating them would be exponentially larger.
We have a caller. I believe it's Gene. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, sirs. Is there any awareness of this, of what's going on within the ranks in the Army, and how is it that there's not been any kind of insistence by the serving soldiers that something be done about this? You would think that this would, you know, be the, you know, an excuse for a mutiny almost. Could you discuss that whole aspect, and why are not these soldiers, you know, fellow soldiers standing up for them? Thank you.
Sure. Well, several veterans groups have gotten involved, and I know Veterans for America, also the Veterans and Military Families for Progress, has also been working on this issue. But you're right, awareness has not spread as far as it could. I should add, though, I do get calls routinely from soldiers, from their families, who say, I was about to get this discharge, my son was about to get this discharge, we read your article, and we made sure it didn't happen. I think bit by bit awareness is spreading. But right now, you know, certain organizations like the Dave Matthews Band, Law and Order, a lot of people in the public sector have caught their eye to this a lot sooner than the soldiers or even, you know, top military or congressional figures. I should add, I know, Henry, that you're interested in public action. Perhaps your listeners would be interested in the names of these bills if they want to pressure their congressmen.
Please.
To take action. On the Senate side, it's S-1817. That's Senator Barack Obama and Senator Kit Bond's bill on freezing the personality disorder discharges. On the House side, it's called H.R. 3167. And right now, there's really nothing but bad news to report about both of those. They are floundering because they have not received pressure from their constituents. And so the congressmen really don't feel any pressure to go ahead and enact this bill. Kit Bond and Barack Obama, in the wake of that lack of support, tried to take a second effort and inserted the bill as an amendment into the Pentagon spending bill, which passed just this past week. Now, for all the military folks, that was the headline. Most papers, their headline was the $150 billion to keep the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan continuing for the coming years. But what the veterans were looking at was how weakened this personality disorder amendment became when it finally reached approved form. In this amendment version of the bill, there isn't a freeze on personality disorder discharges. All there is a requirement that in troublesome cases, there's a review by Surgeon General Pollack.
Oh. I was hopeful there for a moment. Joshua Kors, Florida legislators. I believe Senator Bill Nelson's on the Armed Forces Committee. And I think we have Bill Young in the House in our listening area. Any particular Florida legislators that would be good to make your opinions known to?
I don't know offhand. I think the best way to go is just go local.
All right. Well, Joshua Kors, Specialist Town, takes his case to Washington. It's in the current issue of The Nation. It's available at thenation.com also, and you'll be able to read his previous article from that website. There is a link that will take you directly there at AmericanAM.com's guest page. And Joshua Kors, I want to thank you so much for keeping us up to date on this, and thanks for all the good work you're doing, and it must be a great feeling to, even if it's frustrating sometimes, it must be great to know that you are helping some people.
It's good to get the word out. I think once soldiers know about what's going on, once concerned military officials do, things could change.
All right, Joshua, thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
You too, Henry.
Bye-bye. And, of course, we would second that you should let your local legislators know. And think it would be a great issue for either Kathy Castor or Vern Buchanan, our senators.